I have to be honest with you. Message that was delivered by Lori this morning, I was this close to scrapping my sermon this morning and answering that young man's question is, what is sin? That, it doesn't make any difference what I preach. If we don't understand what is sin, everything else is just fluff. Because we got to get to be able to communicate that not only with ourselves, but to be able to explain it to others. Otherwise, the message of Christ is a waste of time. We miss the mark. And so I'm not going to change my sermon because I will tell you, I had the joy of being in both the Sunday school classes this morning talking about evangelism. In George's class, I encourage everyone to come and get in to our adult Sunday school classes that we've opened up again, and in Susan's class. There's a reason why God wants us to focus in on the passage in Ephesians. Because you have God working in our Sunday school classes on this passage. You have our children's message working on this passage. And the Lord having me spend a lot of time in understanding and communicating what He wants to say about this passage. So, I'm going to stay with the sermon, but I'm asking my wonderful wife, Sherry, to make sure that she writes down about what is sin so that we can be able to answer that question whenever anyone asks us, no matter how old or what age they are. The name, entitlement of the sermon today is The Telltale Heart of the Wicked, Sinners, and Scoffers. And we see this telltale heart when we look at the areas of anger and profanity and gossip. Now, I'm going to share with you, I try to go in my preparation for sermons by the grace of God, I try to go 3 months out because I think that's a part of really good planning. But you get a bonus because when I got through preparing the sermon today, even I said, I didn't need Sarah to tell me, Ron, you're preaching too long. I actually said, Ron, that's too long of a sermon. So I'm going to split it in half. So you're going to get half of my sermon today, and then you have to tune in next week for the other half. However, and I'll come back to this. You have an insert in your bulletin. And I will come back to that insert. You don't need to examine it at this moment. Later on in the sermon, I'll reference it. But I want you this week to go through that insert and look those passages up. One side relates to anger that we'll talk about today, and the other side relates to profanity and gossip. I want you to be preparing yourself even more so for our time together next week. But I want to start off by telling you something. When I was looking at the passage and it, as it relates to anger, my mind went immediately to something that just happened a week earlier. Now, Sherry and I have been married almost 44 years. And the other day, as I'm thinking about this passage, the other day I had found, you know, we had boxes and boxes and boxes that were shipped down to our house. And I found this one box in the garage. And when I opened it up, it had 3 of these wall quilts. And I will tell you, this is a beautiful piece. I know that we're going to probably be doing a quilter's prayer study group here at First Baptist Church. So if you're interested, let us know. But this is what a wall quilt looks like, you see. And so I found 3 of these wall quilts in this box along with $10,000. And so I went to Sherry and I said to Sherry, I said, tell me about these, what's in this box. And she says, well, every time I get angry with you, I make a wall quilt. And I got to tell you, I was kind of puffed up and I'm going, golly, almost 44 years of marriage and I've only angered her three times because there was only three wall quilts in there. And so that was pretty impressive. I said, well, that's great, Sherry. I'm glad it's only three, but what about that $10,000 in there? And she looked at me and she smiled and she says, well, that's the money I get from all the wall quilts I sold. To the best of my knowledge, I hope I have never caused Sherry to get so angry with me that she loses control of her mind and it goes into fits of rage. I'm very blessed with a caring and understanding and long-suffering life partner as my mate that God gave me as a free gift. As we continue to remind ourselves of our accountability to the Lord and to one another, we must be vigilant. It's interesting. I was in Susan's class this morning, and it's on this passage talking about a life of holiness. Now, there's no way, no spanking way, that you can live a life of true holiness if you are not tapped into being self-aware. I'll go even one step further. Not only do you need to practice self-awareness, but you also need to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear of situational awareness. All around us. And I will tell you, in order for us to be able to keep all of the promises in our entire church covenant, we have to be vigilant each and every day with self-awareness, reflection, and situational awareness. Today we come to a subject that was read by Lori out of the epistle of James chapter 3. And it's interesting. No, she was in Ephesians, but I want to talk about this as it relates to anger and profanity and scoffing. And in the epistle of James in chapter 3, it talks about this part of the body that is a fire. It is a restless evil that is full of deadly poison. Boy, what could that possibly be? And so we read in chapter 3 of James, it says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members. It stains, our tongue stains the whole body. It sets fire the cycle of nature and set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird and of every reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. With it, as we've done already this morning in worship service, we bless the Father and the Lord, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes and sings and praises God with all blessings, but yet is also cursing. My brethren, this should not be so. And this is why it's vital to the health of ourselves, to one another, and to everyone in the body of Christ that we have in our church covenant. We will control our anger. We will shun profane speech and we will abstain from gossip. Now, as testified to in several previous sermons, God wants to continuously impress upon each of us the fact that, as stated in Ephesians 4, there is one body and there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Consequently, listen now, we are to speak the truth in what? In love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly. And I will tell you this, we won't work properly in this church if we are not holding to every bit of our church covenant, because every bit of it is mandated by God in His Word. But we cannot work properly if we are succumbing to uncontrollable anger, if we are using profanity, and if we are gossiping. In order to make the bodily grow and upbuilds itself in love. So, we are to put off, our old nature, which belongs to your formal manner of life, and it is corrupt through deceitful lusts. Susan mentioned this morning that I loved in her Sunday school class, and that is, this young man said, what is sin? And the first thing, Susan, that popped in my mind is when you went up to the board and you said, well, it's that middle letter of the word sin. It always has to do with the I factor. It's all about me. And that's where our deceitful lusts come from. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new nature. Guys, gals, we have a new nature. Why would we want to wear those old ratty clothes when we have been made heirs? And God puts the robe on us and He puts the ring on our finger and He brings and He kills the fatted calf to have a banquet as His children and His family. We are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, based upon what has been proclaimed earlier in this chapter of Ephesians chapter 4, we're able to better understand our passage in Ephesians chapter 4 when we look at verses 25 to 32. So if you will go ahead and take out your Bible, and I'll wait for those that are watching on their computer. Take out your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 25 to 32, beginning with the word, and you guys know this about me, anytime you see a therefore, I got to say, well, therefore what? What was said before the therefore? Now you know what was said therefore. Please follow along as I read from Ephesians chapter 4, the letter that Paul said in verses 25 to 32. This talks about rules for the new life. So we're supposed to put on the new nature. So here it is. Therefore, put away any falsehood. Let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands. Now watch this, so that he may be able to do what? To give to those in need. Verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good and for edifying or enriching, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace, that it may impart grace, that what comes out of your mouth with your tongue, self-awareness, situational awareness, does it impart grace to those who hear? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, when it uses the word wrath there, it's actually saying rage and anger and clamor. Clamor is making chaos out of nothing, uproar, and slander. Slander is an insult. But put away from you with all malice. There's a word. And I will tell you, since my special area had to do in criminal matters, malice is actually a legal term that means evil intent. And verse 32, and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. What does that word tenderhearted mean? Compassionate. Forgiving one another to the same degree as God in Christ forgave you. Hold that mirror up. As you're talking with somebody, hold that mirror up. See if you're treating them the same way you want to reflect that God is treating you. May God bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word. Now, we talked about these three areas in our church covenant. Today, I want to talk about anger. Now, it says that we're to control anger. My daughter, Sherry and I, we have five children, and they range from age 31 to 41. And our fourth child, Katrina. Now, I will tell you, in my Greek culture, growing up, a lot of us are very, very sarcastic. I mean, that's just was our nature. That was the culture I grew up in. That's how we communicated. And so I had that as a part of my personality. I was horribly sarcastic. Probably mostly just to humor and entertain myself. Or to have other people focus on me. But the thing is that when Katrina was 8 years old, I said some sarcastic remark to her, as I had done many times before. And that little 8-year-old looked at me and she says, "Daddy, would you please stop being sarcastic because it hurts me?" And that just crushed me as a father. Crushed me as a father that my use of my tongue was actually hurting my daughter. Not just her feelings, but her spirit. Now, the definition of sarcasm is a sharp, an often mocking or biting utterance designed to cut or give pain that is usually directed against an individual. Along with anger, profanity, and gossip, sarcasm is typically a false masking as another mode of potentially destructive behavior that's caused by triggering an unaccountable tongue of a person's, and I dare say, questionable spiritual walk with the Lord. We may not necessarily be a natural person, as Scripture talks about, someone that does not know the Lord, but certainly not a spirit-filled and spirit-led person, but more, as Paul talked about, a carnal person. We promise the Lord to control our anger. So let's look at several forms of this type of behavior. According to Michael Mazzalongo, who was the former dean of students at Oklahoma Christian University, there are various ways to describe types of anger that we emotionally feel. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. The first one is a hasty and sudden anger. This is the impulse when one is threatened or harmed physically or psychologically. It's a reaction of self-preservation. Hasty and sudden anger. A second one is a settled and deliberate anger. This is a reaction to unfair treatment or deliberate harm by another. This is often referred to as a righteous indignation or a strong desire for justice. The third one is called and referred to as a dispositional anger. Now, this anger is a character trait. This is a person who is constantly irritable, grouchy, and given to having a bad temper. And then finally, number four is what they call a passive-aggressive anger. This is an anger collected and stored from the small slights and insults that some people feel that others are unconsciously directing at them. Their reaction is to sabotage any effort to have or improve relationships as a way of punishing those who offended them. Now, the first two types of angers are episodic, meaning they happen from time to time in response to some type of an outside stimuli of some sort. The third and the fourth one, dispositional anger or passive-aggressive anger, these are always present as a part of one's character, not as a response to an outside event, but the normal state of that person despite of what the event may be. Christian author, journalist, and editor by the name of Jessica Brody talks about trying to overcome anger and resentment when she commented this. She said, "We know from Scripture and Scripture reading that God grows angry. He was furious when His people forgot Him and crafted idols." We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 21. "When Solomon turned his heart away," in 1 Kings chapter 11, "and when the Israelites and the Judeans refused to listen to His commands," as referenced in Jeremiah chapter 32. "Jesus grew angry when the people used God's temple for personal profit." We read that in Matthew chapter 21. "As well as when they cared more about themselves than healing a suffering man on the Sabbath," as we read in Mark chapter 3. Made in God's image, we are designed to feel and naturally get angry too. But there is sinful anger and then there is righteous anger. And there's a strong difference between the two. Now, listen. Righteous anger typically comes when we see a situation that goes against the will and commands of God. Sins such as abuse and other deep injustices. This anger develops because we are aligned with God and are outraged at such blatant violations of God's ways. It's a justifiable outrage. It's a justifiable anger. And our reaction spurs us either to stop the evil directly or stir others' emotions to work alongside other Christians who are also seek to end this sin. That's a righteous anger. The one I'm talking about and the one that I believe that we are to control is the sinful anger. This is a far different animal. It stems not from a place of aligning with God, but rather it is a barrier to the Lord. We might grow angry because of pride, or we begin to enjoy the anger and let it remain, and it is allowed to take root in our hearts. We allow it to grow and fester like a wound, and it eventually becomes a hindrance to not only our unified and our united relationship with God, but I dare say it divides us as members of His family all over the world, but in particular here at First Baptist Church. For our energies are focused on the anger Sinful anger focuses in on the anger rather than on God and what we can do to glorify Him. Anger can be caused by very real problems. While some anger is justified when something goes, Francis, if something does not go as planned, it's not the anger that will help you fix it. Let me repeat that. While some anger is justified when something does not go as planned, it's not the anger that will fix the problem. The best way to approach a situation that makes you angry is not focus on the solution. Listen, don't focus on the solution, but to figure out how to address the problem. You can do that by making a plan and checking in with it often so that you can check your progress often. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is, don't let anger cause you to jump to inaccurate conclusions. Just slow down. Think about your non-lashing out response. And remember, a part of self-awareness is active listening to one another. When you talk to somebody, call me on it. When you talk to somebody, don't talk at them, because that means you're not listening to them. Talk with them in love and compassion and gentleness and kind-heartedness. Just don't get upset if the way the problem ends up, gets resolved, isn't exactly the way you planned. God gave us gifts, talents, time, and treasures to manage. Just make your best effort. Now, I have given to you a handout. Now, in this handout, I want you to take it out and I want you to hold it up. And there's that part there that says, we will control anger. If you have some type of rage or sinful anger, I encourage you. Here are four prayers. Lord, help me to leave my fear and anxiety with you. Lord, help me to love others, even those who wronged me. Lord, give me the strength to release my anger. Lord, help me forgive those who have hurt me. If the Lord has laid upon your heart a conviction that what you thought and rationalized as being righteous anger, in fact, the Holy Spirit is telling you that is sin, then you have uncontrolled anger and you're not keeping your promise with God and with one another. As we sing this next hymn, those of you that the Lord has asked you to come, you come. Well, I'll pray with you. The deacons will pray with you. Let's get it right. Let's walk with the Lord so that the things that come out of our mouth are honoring and edifying to Him, and that grace is poured out on one another when we use our speech in Christ's name.